Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're doing running back snap reactions, and we are doing the Human Hand Grenade Index. So I'm doing it as one pod this week. Let me know if you have any sort of questions, comments, concerns about it. I think it's better to do it this way just because it's a little bit more all together instead of two, you know, hey, go cross-reference here and there. Like, we'll just do one. We'll do one big pod. So here's the deal. Just going to run through these things. Some of these, again, not super interesting. We'll just move on. But the other ones, there is some notable information here this week. So, okay. Dallas, it's Zeke, it's Pollard. This week it was 13-5 touches. Zeke, I think, is a running back one. Pollard is flex consideration, matchup play, that sort of thing. Not the whole heck of a lot here to see. Dalvin Cook, the lead back in Minnesota. He has 17 carries this past week, 110 yards. Madison goes 4 for nothing. So notable there. In terms of just a shutout, so interesting on 4 carries. Other, I guess, noteworthy stuff: 16 routes for Dalvin Cook. He goes 3 for 3 and 12 yards. 5 routes for Madison. So this really is five routes plus 4 carries for Madison compared to 20. Carries plus 16 routes. So, I mean, you're looking at 3-1 type of difference here in workload. So, I think if I had to pick between Pollard and Madison to start in a desperation, I mean, obviously your matchups matter and that stuff, but I think it's definitely leaning Pollard at this point. Okay, next up, and this one has some clarity, and I think it has actually some implications too. So, you have Alvin Kamara, the lead back in New Orleans. Still unquestioned. 13 carries, 50 yards, a touchdown. Mark Ingram, 9 carries, 43 yards, no touchdown, but that's a 13-9 split in terms of the rush. It's 29-11 in terms of the routes. Again, Kamara, he goes 4 for 54 on 6 targets, 5 for 5 and 21 for Ingram there. So both of them highly involved in the passing game, 11 total targets between the two of them. I think that this is a situation where, hey, maybe we get a little bit more optimized Kamara. He's been running below expectation in the running game. So I think optimizing him, you know, letting Ingram take some of that beating, whereas Kamara can get in space, play some of the receiving stuff. I think that could be an absolute advantage there for Kamara here. I do think it takes maybe some of the ceiling off your total touches, but it actually might open up a little bit in terms of your, what your production ends up being there for Kamara. So I don't think it's anything, like, you're not starting him, but I do think if you are playing matchups and that sort of thing, Ingram can absolutely be flex viable. And this is running it back to the Ingram Saints days. Like, this isn't new. But Kamara, running back 5 here on the season, at 3.6 yards per attempt. Again, that's a horrible stat. But when you look, he's actually under expectation too. So by like about a yard. So it's a pretty big underperformance in terms of his rushing stuff. But when you look, you know, when you look out, 32 receptions, 310 yards, and 4 touchdowns, you know, that's pushing some of the leaders at the position. Detroit was off this week. I expect Jamal Williams to be healthy when he comes back. So we'll see that. Big performance here for Nick Chubb in week 9. Again, Kareem Hunt on IR, so we're expecting at least a couple more weeks from him out. So Dearness Johnson, the injury away guy there, high value. I'm not sure how much flex viability there might be for a guy like Dearness Johnson. He goes 8 carries, 16 yards in this. And then he is another four passing game routes. So not great. It's tough to stomach that, where at least with a guy like Pollard, you get a little bit more usage. You don't have that sort of really bad floor. Darius Johnson's played a little bit. He's probably played like between, I guess the best way to describe it is he's played essentially between like Pollard and Madison here. So I think that's basically a lesser role than Kareem Hunt has had. So that's the rub there with him. Again, he's a firm hold until Kareem Hunt returns, then we'll see. And again, maybe he's like, I think he has outs for next year, given the contract situation for Kareem Hunt. There's nothing preventing Dearness Johnson from earning a bigger role. Like, it's absolutely well within his range of outcomes if he plays well, and they could potentially move on for Kareem Hunt in the offseason. That would be terribly, terribly surprising. Darrell Henderson continues to perform pretty well in terms of this game's a little bit of a washout, given just the couple of interceptions there. It got a little weird, but ultimately, I think Darrell Henderson's really interesting here, and I think he himself has outs for 2022, and it wouldn't shock me if he was the starter either. Not doing a ton of performance here in terms of the passing game stuff. 27 routes to 22 for Sony Michel. Neither of them had much. They had 9 total yards between them. So 4 targets for Henderson, and he had 11 carries for 55 yards, and that's only 7 for Michel. So that's actually a decent game for Michel in terms of workload. Again, the numbers aren't good, but a decent game in terms of him for workload. And those are really the two guys there. So, and that's, that's pretty much Buddy Howell, a deeper name down the line, but nothing super interesting really at this point. So Darrell Williams, and then you've got Derek Gore, who came in last Monday night, I believe it was, and then he was a big waiver wire ad, and I think he was actually after I recorded this show last week, if memory serves. And so he's a big waiver ad, and then it's right back to tried and true Darrell Williams. So 19 for 70, it's 3 for 13 for Derek Gore. No real running game work, no running game work at all for Jerick McKinnon. He does get a little bit involved in the passing game, but it's really Darrell Williams carrying the bulk of the workload. 19 carries, adds another 3 receptions, 16 routes. So it really is Darrell Williams. Again, we're watching to see here. The thought is that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, hopefully here in the next maybe 2 to 4 weeks or so, is sort of on the mend. But I think until that time, we're playing matchups and trying to figure out our way through buys and matchups and all that sort of stuff going forward. So they are at Vegas here. It's a big number, 53 plus, it looks like, and they're going to be a favorite. So we'll see. I mean, that has the feel, if you will, of a decent Darrell Williams game. So, all right. Next team up is Tampa Bay, because they're in a bye this week. It's Fournette. It's Jones, Vaughn, Geo, in some order there afterwards. Not super sure how that's ultimately going to unfold. If there's Fournette down, Fournette fully viable here, pretty valuable, like running back 1 type projection the rest of the way. Turning next to Tennessee, and the big Derrick Henry absence, it leaves a huge hole. And when you look what they tried to do with it, it was to throw a lot of Adrian Peterson being under expectation at that problem. It doesn't seem like a winning formula. 10 for 21. Again, he's below expectation by about a yard. Deontay Foreman 7 for 24, so I guess a little bit better. He does a little bit more work after contact. That was Jeremy McNichols with 7 for 24. I'm sorry. And then 5 for 29 for Foreman. So Foreman's actually the best of the day in terms of especially yards after contact and sort of all those things. Like, again, small sample size, caveats apply. When you look at it, Foreman essentially no involvement in the passing game, one route, zero targets, 12 routes for Jeremy McNichols, 3 for 3 in terms of targets, receptions, 11 yards, only 6 routes for Peterson, 1 for 5. So he had 1 target, 1 catch, and 5 yards. I think it's Peterson is the lead back in terms of probably touches. I think if this is going to consolidate in any way, it can ends up consolidating in favor of McNichols. I think McNichols is positioned to benefit at some point, but I don't think it's the immediate term. I was hoping it was the immediate term before this week, but you know, I think if it's a Peterson injury, for example, or a Deonta Foreman injury, both of those things sort of position him better, especially if it's Peterson, because I think he really consolidates the passing game role and could be the at least break even with Foreman in the rushing game. Atlanta, and I'll be really interested to watch how this whole situation post Calvin Ridley NFI list, right? So Calvin Ridley on the NFI because of the, he's taken a step back from, football to deal with some personal issues. And we wish the best for him. But when you look at this, I'm really fascinated by how Cordarrelle Patterson fits into all this. He had the big catch down the sidelines. So that was pretty, I think that was pretty interesting in terms of how it's just different from what we usually see him, these vertical sort of sideline routes. It's pretty different. When you look at his 29 snaps this week, 18 of them were in the backfield, 5 were in line, 4 were in the slot, 6 were wide, and actually there's 6 kick returns there. So he actually played 33 offensive snaps. So a little bit all over the place. I mean, almost 2/3 in the backfield. And, that's a little bit more than half, I guess, between half and 2/3 were in the backfield. Which, just roughly is up over some of the stuff that was going on earlier on in the season. So I think that's interesting in terms of how he is getting a little bit of inside and outside work. Again, they basically split carries this week. Neither of them particularly effective. It's a robust Saints defense. They combined Mike Davis and Cordarrelle Patterson, that is, combined for 23 yards on 18 carries. So neither of them particularly strong in this one. And when you look in the passing game, for example, it's Mike Davis only getting 11 routes. So he goes 1 for 5 on 1 target. I mean, and then it's 20 routes for Patterson, and he goes 6.3 yards per route run. So wild stuff there. Wayne Gallman, your injury away guy, the back end of that roster. I think there's some Allison stuff with him getting called up as well. I think it's probably whoever it is multiple injuries away at this point. Turning next to the New England Patriots, a couple of injury notes here. Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson both play. Stevenson actually plays pretty well. He goes 10 for 62 on the ground. But they both leave with head injuries. Dangerous position there. Dangerous job being a running back for the Patriots. So watching that, monitoring that, maybe J.J. Taylor spot start if he's out there and available. Listen, this could be a situation where you cut him. I think I might have mentioned this in a prior pod. This could be a situation where you roster him, light waiver ad, or even a no-dollar bid, something like that, and then you go ahead and you just cut him, pregame. If you're in sort of a tight roster or something like that, you could cut a kicker to sort of roster him. Like, you have, I think, those options. So that's a tactic technique that maybe we think about using this week. Again, we'll be interested to see if it's a Harris out Stevenson game. Like, that'd be really interesting. So I was halfway out on Stevenson just because it was him and Taylor week in, week out, you know, back and forth, who's active, who's inactive. It's just a headache, you know, especially 28 man, these super flex tight end premium. Like, you can do other things with those roster spots that help you. But it's good to see Stevenson sort of, a couple games active here, projecting in the right way, becoming more involved. I'm really interested to see how this is going forward. Turning next to the Vegas Raiders, and you know, it's there is some of these Peyton Barber inactive games that are popping up. What's interesting is I still think, in the event that there is an injury to Jacobs, it's Barber coming in, and this could totally be a situation. Like, I wouldn't discount this, that it's a situation where, hey, listen, if Jacobs goes down in game, we feel confident playing Drake for 80%+ snaps. Like, it's fine. We'll just go ahead and do that, and then, and you know, once we sort of get it sorted out in the week between, if Jacob's still out, like, we'll play Barber, you know, and they've got other guys that are playing for special teams purposes and all that stuff. Like, I totally understand sort of that realm. And listen, we've seen this in a less clear scenario, or one where we didn't have prior circumstances that dictated, you know, listen, Jacobs was out, Barber was active, Barber was the lead ball carrier, yada yada, right? That sort of, that structure, if that was not the case, we might be cutting Barber right now. But because he is, and we sort of know what he is, I think we keep him. I do view him as the injury way running back, running centric running back, even though that might not necessarily happen in week with some of his inactives, actives type of deal. So that's my thought there on the Raider. Again, but it's tough to sort of see how you'll extract anything from Drake, given it's going to be in week probably is when your usage for him would be. Okay, the Indianapolis Colts, Jonathan Taylor is an absolute monster. So Wilkins has been cut. Max, the one injury away guy. Naheem Hines in the running game. I mean, that's pretty much the deal at this point. This one's not particularly complicated. I think it's a little bit more complicated in the sense of, do we know who the ultimate out is if Taylor is out? Turning next to the Baltimore Ravens, and a decent chunk of volume here in this game. So 13 carries, 79 yards for Devonta Freeman. 11 carries, 48 yards for Le'Veon Bell. Bell's the one that scores a touchdown. Freeman outproduces Bell after contact, but Bell breaks an additional tackle. Tyson Williams basically does essentially about half the receiving work in terms of routes and that sort of thing. So I think he could be a cut, because I question what his outs are at this point in a scenario where the team just doesn't really throw to running backs anyways. 29-5 in terms of routes for Freeman ahead of Bell, a total of 4 yards. So not a ton to look forward to. I think Freeman, in the event that Murray is still out, Freeman's the guy to own. I'm not sure how great I feel about it as like a low-end desperation flex type of situation. And then again, maybe you're rostering Le'Veon Bell as an injury away. Until that happens, and you can reevaluate after Murray gets back and is playing, or, you know, in the lead up to that game and you have a good indication. Turning next to the San Francisco 49ers, Trey Sermon, inactive, game day, healthy scratch, and then deleted all his 49ers Instagram stuff. So that's fun. I think social, Twitter maybe, I don't know, social media linkages, I guess, if you will. Elijah Mitchell, 8 for 36, forces 2 missed tackles, so that's pretty good. And then Jamichael Hasty is the guy playing behind him, he goes one carry for 2 yards. So not a ton there to hoot and holler about, but you do get basically a consolidation between these two guys at this point. And then we'll see as Jeff Wilson works his way back, see what this ultimate ends up looking like. And hopefully we get Raheem Mostert back. That'd be really interesting. The receiving game workload here for Elijah Mitchell, 5 targets, 5 receptions, 43 yards on 28 routes. That's 28-17 for Mitchell ahead of Hasty. So it's basically, you know, 8-1 in terms of carries, and a nice solid, you know, almost 2-1 advantage in terms of routes for Hasty. So you kind of like that for him. Excuse me, for Mitchell, you kind of like that for him going forward in terms of where he's at. All right, next, and like the deal with Sermon too, by the way, is I should talk about that before we end. Like, if I can get a second for him, I'm probably doing it right now. I don't know if he can do that. I've tried, so I'm not sure if that's something that can happen. I haven't had a ton of success doing it, but I would at this point to try and free up some shares and unwind a little bit of a heavy position. That one just doesn't seem like it's going to work out for whatever ill-fated Kyle Shanahan reason that there is. Najee Harris, nice game on Monday Night Football. Got involved in the passing game a little bit. You know, scored a touchdown. Nothing. It wasn't. He got held largely in check, but did score and had some receiving game work. So put together an okay fantasy day. And then I don't think we have a ton of clarity behind them other than McFarland's game day inactive. Snell's playing passing game. Snell is playing special teams. Balazs a little bit in there. I don't think it's entirely clear what would happen if Najee Harris was out. So, again, I'm taking spec shots on Snell, Balazs, where I got him, McFarlane a little bit too. It's not a entirely, yeah, it's not a, this is a diversified hedge and at cheaper depths. I'll just leave it at that. Chase Edmonds looks like he could be heading to IR. So that's going to be require me to bust out my handy IR calculator and see where we are in terms of missed games here going forward. James Conner, monster game with Chase Edmonds out. You know, Benjamin himself plays a decent amount here. He gets 9 carries for 39 yards and a touchdown. But it really is James Conner, 21 for 96. He forces 4 missed tackles, so that's pretty good in terms of rates. Almost 4.5 yards after contact per attempt. That is basically essentially what he ran for. He had 94 yards after contact. He ran for 96 on the day, so just slightly past the line of scrimmage was his average contact with a defender. 20 receiving routes for James Conner. He goes 5 for 5, 70 yards in terms of his targets, and 77 yards in terms of his targets and receptions there. So really robust number for him. I've looked in the past. I don't think there's a substantial difference, like a substantial fall off from Edmonds to Conner in terms of passing game production either. Like, it's neither of them have sort of been super duper efficient, but they're competent. So, and if all that role consolidates into one guy, I'm not even sure Eno Benjamin's super competent right now. I do think Eno Benjamin absolutely worth an addition, and going to be, especially if we get the indication that Edmonds is going to be out for a waiver wire stint here, with the way this appears to be a high ankle injury is going to track. Denver, it continues to be locked in a heated battle there. I wouldn't say it's really a battle. I mean, they just do a really good job of sort of working these guys in tandem. They go for a buck 91. Some of the stats on this are just outrageous. A touchdown for Melvin Gordon, 7 forced missed tackles on 17 carries for Javonte Williams. That is just crazy. 4 on 21 carries for Melvin Gordon. So, again, really good all-around numbers there in terms of in terms of breaking tackles and being difficult to haul in. It is largely a split at the for the receiving role. 15 routes for Gordon, 14 for Williams. Gordon goes 2 for 15 on the 15 routes, so it ends up being 1 yard per route run. Again, 0 there for Javonte Williams. Neither one setting the house on fire, if you will. I do think it's interesting, you know, can you get a second for Melvin Gordon right now? I'm not sure you can do that. If I could, I think you're taking it. Turning over here to the Giants, it looks like there was a Devontae Booker was banged up in this game. It's unclear exactly what happened, so hopefully we'll get some additional data this week in terms of where he's at. But they do have, hopefully, hope is, anyways, that they are going to get Saquon Barkley back after the bye week. So that would be week 11. They're on a bye week 10. So I'm not super worried about Devonta Booker at this point anyways, you know, because I do think Barkley's coming down the pike and hopefully will be the starter and do a lot of the good stuff that Booker has been doing. Next up here, again, and then if it's no Booker back or something like that, and if it's, you know, if Barkley's not back, something odd happens, like look to maybe Elijah Penny to be the potential injury away guy here. But I'm not putting any of my resources or capital into that. There's way too many things here that look like it's not heading in that direction. And it looks like Booker's day-to-day and probably could play next week, according to Dr. Chain, a football guy. So we'll watch for that. All right, David Montgomery's back. So that's good. He looked okay on Sunday Night Football. I haven't really watched it for that. I was just more watching for entertainment purposes as I was doing some other things. I thought he looked fine. Like, you know, nothing stood out in terms of like, hey, he can't walk or, you know, and stuff. You know, Herbert, your injury away guy. Damian Williams, we're not really sure what's going on with him in any particular moment. So we'll see how you know hit what his role looks like, but it definitely looks like Herbert is the injury way guy. He rotated in and did some work with Montgomery in this game. It's Mixon, it's P. Ryan, it's Evans. No real shocker or anything that changes the momentum here. They kind of got whitewashed a little bit. So hopefully I'm Mixon having a bigger game here going forward. And yeah, we'll see there. Miles Sanders is, again, he's on IR. So we're getting this committee, I don't know what we're going to call them, this committee in here. It's 17 carries for Jordan Howard, 71 yards and a touchdown, 14 carries for Boston Scott, 40 yards and 0 touchdowns. And it is Kenny Gainwell, 2 for 3. So for what that's worth, it definitely does not seem like they're interested in making him their lead back by virtually any means. It's just not gonna happen. They go 8 routes for Gainwell, 8 for Boston Scott, 6 for Ty Johnson, and none of them are targeted. So say that for what you will about the you know the passing game there. And their reliance or lack thereof of the running back position in the passing game. Seattle on a bye this week. You know, we're hopeful that Chris Carson might get back, but I think it's Collins, Penny, Homer, Dallas, something like that in that conversation. I think Collins and Penny are probably the two closest together, would sort of be my thought. James Robinson nursing an ankle injury, missed, or a foot injury, I think heel, something to do with foot, ankle, something of that nature. And it is a day-to-day, week-to-week type deal. He should be back here for week 10 is the thought. They get away without playing him. Carlos Hyde plays against the Buffalo Bills. Rex Burkhead doesn't do a ton of playing this past game either, which is interesting considering he basically handled the plurality of their rushing opportunities last week. Only 4 for 11 for Burkhead, 2 for 9 for 4 for 11 for Johnson, 2 of 9 for Burkhead. It's 8 for 28 from Lindsay. So kind of all over the place there. I don't have a particularly good read on the situation, and I think it's one that you probably can avoid just because I don't even think it's that lucrative. So, all right. Miami next up, 20 for 34 on the ground for Myles Gaskin this past week. Just a pretty dismal effort there. Bad PFF grade. It doesn't really do much after contact either. And then you sort of look at the routes, like ran a ton of routes, didn't get a ton of yards. So none of that's great. Salvin Ahmed is basically playing a limited role as committee type situation, but again, he had 6 routes to 31 for Gaskin. So this isn't really a mystery about how the situation is unfolding, nor should it be. It'd be smart to get a look-see in terms of how the development of Gaskin is going, especially as this season is frittering a little bit. So be interested to see how that ultimately goes. Again, it's Ahmed after that and Patrick Laird maybe deeper down the line. All right, Devin Singletary, Zach Moss, Breida on the bench for the Bills. We'll see here with Zach Moss getting injured and in the concussion protocol. Is this a Singletary game in week 10? I'm not sure. Again, I'm not sure how great I feel about that at all. But I will say you do have this game being at the Jets. They're going to be a big favorite. Again, so you sort of look at all that and you can say, all right, there's, I guess, some viability there. But the Singletary hasn't proven to be much of a difference maker at any point. So hit that for, you know, with a grain of salt for what you will. And again, if Moss is going to miss extended time, then maybe it's Breida. But otherwise, Breida's been a game day inactive. All right, next up, heading down the home stretch here, Austin Eckler. It's Justin Jackson who was out this past week. Joshua Kelly, Roundtree basically 1 carry, 3 for 6 for Kelly, and then 17 for 59 for Eckler. So not anything super great in terms of their usage or anything like that. I would say I think that maybe the bigger indicator would be 4 routes for Roundtree, 12 for Kelly, 19 for Eckler. I think that's really probably your indication there that it's Kelly that's probably the injury away running back there for the Chargers. All right, and last but not least, we do have the Washington football team, and they had a bye in week 9. So we're very hopeful that Antonio Gibson can play, be healthy after getting banged up a little bit here to start the season. Maybe the bye week coming just at the right time for him to be healthy and ready to go. Again, Jarrett Patterson's my injury away stash guy, and he can do it at relatively cheap prices. So there was as recently as maybe a month ago, I saw him available. Like, okay, let's do it. Again, you got J.D. McKissick there as well, but I do think Jarrett Patterson's interesting in the fact that Antonio Gibson is continuous to nurse essentially a broken leg or ankle. It's like a hairline fracture type deal, but. Okay, we're going to be getting his backup for free. We can like that and be pretty aggressive on that, given that Patterson was out there. He's probably not out there quite as much, but listen, he might be off a bye, and you know you had to hold him for 2 weeks, all those things. Like, that's a time where people end up getting in the byes. One last thing about the byes, you do get a lot of movement in terms of players. you know, getting cut that wouldn't necessarily or ordinarily be cut just because you have to make roster moves to get a roster set. So be on those, vigilant, checking all your waivers, free agents, depth charts, all that stuff here as you head into week 10. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.